जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी हरे कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1
chapter 5, text 3, chapter entitled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam.
Jidnyasitam susampannam apite mahadadbhutam kritavan bharatam yastvam sarvartha paribrimhitam. Jidnyasitam susampannam apite mahadadbhutam kritavan bharatam yastvam sarvartha paribrimhitam. Jidnyasitam susampannam apite mahadadbhutam kritavan bharatam yastvam sarvartha paribrimhitam. Jidnyasitam susampannam apite mahadadbhutam kritavan bharatasnitam sarvartha paribrimhitam. Jidnyasitam susampannam apite mahadadbhutam kritavan bharatam yastvam sarvartha paribrimhitam.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Let us read the first word by word translation.
Jidnyasitam, fully inquired. Susampannam, well versed. Api, in spite of. Te, your. Mahat adbhutam, great and wonderful. Kritavan, prepared. Bharatam, the Mahabharat. Yahatvam, what you have done. Sarvartha, including all sequences. Paribrimhitam, elaborately explain.
Translation: your inquiries were full and your studies were also well fulfilled, and there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work, the Mahabharata, which is full of Vedic sequences elaborately explained.
Purport: the despondency of Vyasadeva was certainly not due to his lack of sufficient knowledge, because as a student he had fully inquired about the Vedic literatures, as a result of which the Mahabharata is compiled with full explanation of the Vedas.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Kopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Your inquiries were full and your studies were also well fulfilled. And there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work, the Mahabharata, which is full of all kinds of Vedic sequences elaborately explained. Hare Krishna. So I first beg for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, Shri Gurudev, my parents, and all the wonderful devotees who are performing so many services for the pleasure of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. Before we start this discussion on this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, fifth chapter, third verse, 1.5.3. So, the Puranas and the Mahabharata are known as the fifth Veda, because as explained by Srila Prabhupada and Vyasadeva in the previous verses, they explain the teachings of the Vedas, of the four Vedas. So today's discussion, depending on how much time is available, try and cover four themes. One is about the basis from why Mahabharata was written. Then, since the verse and the purport both talk about Mahabharata, I'll try to speak a little bit about this ocean of, you know, wonderful katha, Mahabharata. I'll speak a little bit about it, the key themes, the contents and key themes of the Mahabharata. Not themes, I'll say few learnings, what principles we can learn. Little bit of a comparison between the Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam. And, today is also the appearance day of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. So, little bit, two words about them also, about the lordships. So, following in footsteps of Yugavatar Prabhu, I'll start with that. I'll start with, because otherwise, in the end, there is no time left. So, in case I miss that, I want to speak about Shri Radha Gopinath first. Not qualified, of course, to speak about the Supreme Lord. Not qualified to speak about Shri Radha Gopinath. But a little bit, I'll just speak. So, they appeared on the wish of a very pure devotee. We know the story that Srila Prabhupada, when he was standing there near Bharati Vidya Bhavan, he pointed in this direction, there should be a temple here. So simply by the wish of a pure devotee, all wonderful things manifest. And then by the efforts of so many devotees, so many wonderful devotees contributed to making this temple what it is. Hundreds of them, there is no, it's very difficult to name. But of course, His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj, Hinaji Prabhu, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Mahaprabhu Prabhu, Radha Krishna Prabhu, they were the early stalwarts. And then, then after that, so many devotees came. But today focus is on Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, that this they manifested here because there was the desire of a pure devotee. And then they, you know, it's like the Lord arranges everything for Himself. We don't need to do anything actually. We feel that we are doing something for the Lord. But the Lord arranges His own thing as per His sweet will. So, He created this temple, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, they created this temple. And they attracted so many wonderful devotees who then laid the foundation for this thousands of other insignificant people like us to follow. The initial devotees, they did so much work. We cannot imagine what has gone into creation of this temple. Just the floor, the ceiling, the beautiful paintings. It's just so many thousands of devotees have contributed over the years. They, Shri Radha Gopinath, have actually conducted so many miracles in the lives of so many. We feel, you know, where are the miracles? From temple, for the temple to become famous, you know, some miracle has to happen. But we know, I mean, those of us who have been here, we know that what miracle their lordships have created in hearts of people. I remember personal example when my parents came to Krishna consciousness. I was so determined that I will not take this up. Very determined. Full on 100% determination was that I will not do it. And finally, when I and one more devotee, when we came to Krishna, we have very similar stories, both of us. Parents and sister came into Krishna consciousness very early, 4-5 years earlier. And both of us were not coming for 4-5 years. And then suddenly one day we came. So, His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj had commented tongue-in-cheek that these two are the miracles of Radha Gopinath. Because both of us were so determined that nahi karenge. Nahi matlab nahi. Ye janam mein nahi karenge. No way, nothing. No matter how much someone may emotionally blackmail us, no way. But somehow, by the grace of Shri Radha Gopinath, both of us became devotees and somehow, dono abhi tak tike hue hain, we're still here. So this is the miracle of the Lord. Other than that, so many miracles, so many devotees who came here were atheists or agnostics or, you know, offensive. But by the loving smile of Shri Radha Gopinath, of Gopalji, they gave up their atheism. They gave up their bad habits. All of us, many of us, most of us, most of us had habits of, you know, breaking 4 regulative principles. We're able to give that up. Our idiosyncrasies, many of us have idiosyncrasies. We do things, even after coming to bhakti, we do certain things which we are unable to give up. They are part of us. We have grown up doing those things. But then we have given them up. Misconceptions. People gave up their misconceptions. Now, these are nothing short of miracles. When we see, it's so difficult for people to give up their habits. Very difficult. You know, you can make a person change anything, but habits don't change. It's very tough. By the grace of the Lord, it has happened. They have engaged thousands of devotees in their service. So, be it making garlands, performing aarti, dresses, cooking, buying all the goods that are needed for this, cleaning, preaching, singing kirtan, singing bhajans, dancing, distributing books, unlimited. If we sit to count, actually, ginne baith gaye to koi ginti nahi hai. There are so many services that are there simply because of Radha Gopinath. Because they are there, therefore all this is there. Nahi to kahan hota? Nothing would happen. We would imagine the situation that the temple was not there. Radha Gopinath were not there. There was a temple, chota sa, matlab some photo was there. Would all this happen? No way. It's all the grace of Shri Radha Gopinath that so many of us are engaged. We have so many wonderful brahmacharis sitting here. They are here because the lordships are there. And we have you because Shri Radha Gopinath are there. So, how blessed we are. You know, it's such a blessing that the Lord has given us. And they have kept all of us, you know, all of us very different natured people. You know, we are not, As I say, he's a good-natured person, he's a bad nature. Many of us have very different natures, let's face it. Right? Some of us are, you know, very, very angry nature. Some of us are very sweet natures. Some of us are very shant nature, neither sweet nor yet, very just peaceful. So many different natures are there, but still we have all somehow managed to stay together. Just ek saath rahe hain. He has kept us. Gopinath has kept us united and attracted to, you know, their lotus feet. And still smiling at us. Still smiling at us and our insignificant services and feeble attempts to serve them. So, on this all auspicious appearance day of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, you know, I pray that I may somehow offer my life and that of my family at their lotus feet, not be a source of pain and embarrassment to Shri Shri Radha Gopinath or Srila Gurudev. So, with that small prayer, I want to start our discussion on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we are saying, yeah, the Puranas and Mahabharata are known as the fifth Veda because they explain the teachings of the four Vedas. So, first, you know, in the previous verses from fourth chapter, last part of the fourth chapter, last 10-15 verses, you know, it is explained that why did Srila Vedavyas, the Vedas were there, and why did he divide the Vedas? Why did he divide the Vedas into four Vedas? And then why did he write the Mahabharata? So just briefly touch on that. So in one of the purports, one very beautiful purport, I think it is 1.4.24. So there, you know, Srila Prabhupada mentions that there is a stricture. Stricture means rule, you know, confining rule, stricture, that no one who is not a qualified Brahmana should try to learn the Vedas. So if you are not a qualified Brahman, you should not try to learn the Vedas. And this stricture, Prabhupada explains, it has been wrongly interpreted in so many ways. There are some class of people, Prabhupada says, who claim Brahminical qualification simply by birth. I am Brahman. Because I am Brahman, only I can study the Vedas. Nobody else. Nobody else has access to it. And then there is another class of people who revolt. Matlab kya? Are? I also want to read. How can you stop me? We are in the 21st century. So, you know, then they are saying that they see it an injustice to members of our caste. That we cannot, you know, we are not taken family of Brahmana, so we cannot read the Vedas. So Srila Prabhupada, what nice clarity, he says, both of them are misguided. Dono galat hai. Those who are fighting that only we can read, and those who are fighting we can also read, both are misguided. And Prabhupada explains why. He says, the subject matter of the Vedas is so complex. It is so complex, it is so vast that he says that it had even to be explained to Brahmaji, the creator of the universe. Unko bhi Vedas had to be explained by the Supreme Lord Krishna. So then why do we even expect that you know, people like us will ever be able to understand, lesser still, you know, apply in our lives? It's not possible. Prabhupada says the subject matter is understood by persons with exceptional qualities of goodness. So, to understand the Vedas and the subject matter of the Vedas, one has to be in mode of goodness. Ekdam clear, right? Unless you are in mode of goodness, you cannot understand. And he says, therefore, people who are in mode of passion and ignorance, which is the people who are fighting that only I can read, or, you know, we also want to read. Such people, they have, you know, diminished memory. Because we are in mode of passion and ignorance, our memory gets diminished. We are not able to, you know, retain, we are not able to understand. Smriti Brahmshad, Buddhinasho, Buddhinashad, Pranashati. Because of mode of passion, all these things happen. And therefore, we are unable to understand the matter of the Vedas. So therefore, for the present age, as Prabhupada says, where the mode of goodness is almost nil, zero. Very less mode of goodness you get to see. Whatever mode of goodness is there, it is also mixed with passion and ignorance. Therefore, for the general mass of people, Srila Vyasadeva, he divided the Vedas into four. He said, Ekto they will not remember. Earlier it was all, you know, smriti, it was in the memory. Then it was written down by Ved Vyas, given to his different disciples, and they then broke it down. Actually, Bhurijan Prabhu, in his book, Unveiling the Lotus Feet, he gives full details. He says, each Veda is divided into 1130 Aranyakas, Upanishads, something. He's given some detailed breakup, technical breakup. I have not noted that down, but it's very awesome that each Veda has got so much detail. Aisa nahi hai ki kuch aisa ek kitab utha liya ho gaya Veda. No. It's massive. It's a massive field of knowledge because it covers everything. Everything that we need to know to survive in this material world, every topic is covered in that Veda. So therefore, it has to be voluminous. But the principal theme is surrender to God. So, because he knew that people will be, you know, covered in passion and ignorance in the age of Kali, therefore he divided the Vedas into four so that at least people will be able to absorb something. But then he also realized that even if I have given this knowledge, there will be, in the Kali Yuga, there will be very few people who have that mode of goodness, the quality to understand and apply these principles of Vedas. Kalau Shudra Shambhavat, in this Kali Yuga, everyone will be Shudras. Shudras means what? People who don't have quality of goodness. They are mostly in ignorance, which applies to most of us. Many of us, I'll not say most of us, many of us are in this mode of ignorance. Therefore, for us specifically, Prabhupada, he says that, you know, this out of compassion, he compiled this great historical narration, the Mahabharata, for women, laborers and friends of the twice born. Those who are in the, so friends of the Dvija Bandhu, he says, those who are born in the families of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, or the spiritually cultured families, but who themselves are not equal to the forefathers. So, you may be born in a Brahminical family, but if you don't have the qualities of a Brahmana, you'll anyway not be able to understand. And that applies to the vast majority. Vast majority. I mean, there'll be hardly 0.1% of the world's population today, 0.01% probably, who are having these pure qualities, you know, of honesty, cleanliness. Pehle mein hi wicket ud jata hai. Honesty. Are we sure? No. You know, most of us are there itself, we lose it. Cleanliness, so many things are there to Brahminical culture which we don't have. So for such people, with great compassion, after writing the four Vedas, Upanishads, Vedanta, everything, he wrote the Mahabharata. And this Mahabharata, it is described by Srila Prabhupada that all the intricacies of Vedic knowledge are systematically presented in the Mahabharata for their understanding. Hum logon ke liye, right? So, the purpose of the Mahabharata, he says, is to administer the purpose of the Vedas. What is the purpose of the Vedas? Vedesha sarver aham eva vedyo. Krishna says, he speaks in the 15th chapter of the Gita, that I am to be known by the Vedas. The purpose of Vedas is to ultimately know Krishna. So, through the Vedas, very indirectly one can understand the Supreme Lord. There's very less direct references to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, to administer purpose of these Vedas, he has written the Mahabharata, which is a summary. You know, and in the Mahabharata, he has placed the Bhagavad Gita, which is the summary Veda, the entire Veda, you know, whatever knowledge is there in the Veda, the Supreme Lord is able to present a presi. You know, you remember in school we used to do this thing called presi. Presi means, you know, they give you a big paragraph and you have to reduce it to a small paragraph, you know, using precise language. I remember when I used to write presi, I used to write in small handwriting because I don't have the gift of, you know, reducing and speaking, you know, in eloquent words. So I used to write in small handwriting, hoping the teacher doesn't notice. But here the Supreme Lord Krishna, because He is the Supreme Lord, He is knower of everything. Therefore, it's not difficult for Him. When He is speaking in 1.5 to 2 hours, He gives everything. He's able to compress everything, all knowledge. Like we said, the Vedas contain all knowledge for all people, for all time, for all purposes. And that applies exactly to the Bhagavad Gita also. The Bhagavad Gita has all knowledge for all people, for all time, for all purposes. Think of anything, any question you may have about any situation, any topic. The Bhagavad Gita has some verse. It's magical. So therefore, while the Mahabharata itself may be filled with a lot of historical stories, right? Like case studies, you know. If you just read the Bhagavad Gita, we just read the Bhagavad Gita for, you know, for the dull intelligence that people like us have, it is very difficult to absorb it. वो नहीं समझ में आता है. Even if you read it twice, thrice, you know, we may accept the message. We may accept it. Yes, you have to surrender to Krishna. We may, we may start working, applying it also. We may start practicing Krishna consciousness. We may start chanting Hare Krishna, start coming to the temple, start associating with Vaishnavas. We may start doing these things. But I can't say with confidence I have understood Gita. It's a very, very big calling. But for us to understand the principles of Vedas, understand the principles that are summarized in the Bhagavad Gita, the Mahabharata is very useful. They're like case studies. For those of you who might have done an MBA, MBA colleges, they teach everything by case study. You know, business principle taught through case study. Case study. So they give you a story. They give you a situation. And then they ask you, okay, what did you learn from this situation? What could have been done better? What is the problem here? You know? And there will be 10 different opinions that come. It's never one opinion comes, yehi answer. No, there will be 5-6 different ways to solve the case study. Right? But it is important to have those stories because in this age, people listen to stories. You know, today, if you go on, don't go, I don't suggest you go, but if you go on LinkedIn or you go on Facebook or something, all the quote unquote opinion makers, you know, the big shots, you know, who are, those statement mara to, you know, 5,000 likes, you know, two words and 5,000 likes and big comments and everything, everyone is commenting. These people, how did they start? By writing stories. You know, today there are professional people who train how to hold an audience. Audience ko kaise apne kabu mein rakhna hai. How? By telling your own story. How I had this problem. I had fallen to the depths of misery. And then how I came out of it by doing this. And now therefore all of you must also do this. Right? So this is the standard. It's a template. Okay. If you look at the stories that people put on you know, LinkedIn and whatever, it is that only. This is a template. It's a story. Story of my life. And how the story of my life. And people like reading these stories. You give them a principle, nobody reads. Moment they read a story, they become curious. Acha, kya hua? Aage kya hua? Fir kya hua? Acha, what happened? Acha, this is how he overcame the problems he had in his life. Let me also try. People are inspired by stories. So therefore, Vyasadeva, for the unintelligent people of Kali Yuga, he has filled the Mahabharata with so many stories. You know, the stories are not even, it's not even as if, you know, it's a classic kahani ke andar kahani. It is not even like one story which is, it's a fantastic story. I mean, if you read the Mahabharata, I have personally fallen in love with Mahabharata. You know, I was not so much of a fan. I read Mahabharata in my childhood, but then after that, never really ended up reading. And then this, you know, they started showing this serial Mahabharata. First was in the 80s, and then recently about 5-6 years back, again they started showing Mahabharata. And this time what they are shown is simply fabulous. It's like, you know, it's enthralling. Once you start seeing, you can't stop. Get in a binge watch. It's like binge watch. Completely went through all the episodes, saw all of it. It was beautiful. And then, thanks to His Grace Yugavatar Prabhu, who has created a group of Mahabharata daily, you know, Krishna book and Mahabharata daily. So every day he sends one passage from Mahabharata. And that, he also sends Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrit, Krishna book, Prabhupada Leelamrit started recently. But Mahabharata is what I read last. Sabse ant mein. It is such a thrilling story. It is so thrilling. It just, you know, even Leelamrit is like that. It's captivating. You can't let it go. Once you read, oh, khatam ho gaya. You have to wait till tomorrow for the next one to come. Fantastic. Such a beautiful story. And inside this story, Vyasadeva has very, very smartly, very intelligently placed the Bhagavad Gita. You know, Radha Gopinath Prabhu always gives this example that the mother gives the medicine to a child to eat. Doesn't have. But then she gives one laddu, and inside the laddu she puts the, you know, the medicine. The child, while having the laddu, dawai bhi ghatak leta hai, it goes in, right? And then that medicine has its effect. So, the topics of Mahabharata, the stories that are there in Mahabharata, themselves, you know, are wonderful. If we look at it from a devotional perspective, yesterday I was reading the introduction to Mahabharata by Sri Galim Prabhu. Sri Galim Prabhu, one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he's also written a beautiful translation of Mahabharata in Krishna Dharma Prabhu. So, he was saying that when we as devotees, when we approach the Mahabharata, we approach it from a devotional perspective. Because like Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita, any verse he only sees bhakti. Any verse, kuch bhi unko aur kuch dikhta hi nahi hai. He only sees this, ultimately it is about bhakti, so forget everything else. So in the same way, Sri Galim Prabhu also says, in the same mood, I have also written this translation of, you know, Mahabharata, which is about, ultimately it is about surrender to Krishna. Right? So, that is the way it has been written, the Mahabharata. So, the contents of Mahabharata, there are 224 characters in the Mahabharata. You know, it is a true blue epic, the greatest epic ever written. So, if you Google Maharaj, if you ask, Google Maharaj will also tell you, it is the greatest epic ever written. There is nothing which comes close. In poem form, 1 lakh verses. And each verse is written as a couplet. So there's like 2 lakh lines of, you know, written by Vyasadeva. And the translations of Mahabharata, yesterday I was doing some research on that. There's one research, one written by some Bengali gentleman in the 19th century, which is the most popular apparently translation around. So, each of the 18 parvas, 18 sections of the Mahabharata, incidentally, Bhishma Parva is just the 5th or 6th one. After that, there's a lot of details. We don't know all those details, but so each of those parvas in that translation that he's written is around 500-600 pages. And there are 18 such parvas. So you can imagine, it's almost like Bhagavatam. That detailed. And Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. This is 1 lakh. It's massive. So some of the key sections of the Mahabharata, it starts with first talking about the older generations. You know, it starts from Shantanu, then his, you know, demeanors and misdemeanors, his mistakes, then Bhishma Dev. Then Vichitravirya, Pandu, Dhritarashtra, that's the older generation. Then it speaks about the Kauravas and the Pandavas, the sons of Dhritarashtra and Pandu. That's the next thing. Then the next significant episode is the Lakshagraha, where they try to kill. They try to kill the Pandavas. And that is the point where the Supreme Lord starts coming. The entry, Krishna starts coming from around that point. But they have still not met. You know, the lovers and the beloved have still not met. The Pandavas have not yet met Krishna so much. Though they are cousins. But in the Swayamvar of Draupadi, which is the next important episode in the Mahabharata, that is where, you know, Krishna and Pandavas really meet properly. And Krishna, just see, at each stage, you know, it's like a story which keeps taking turns. It goes in particular direction straight for a certain time, then suddenly it takes a turn. And then after some time, again it comes back on the track. What is that track? We will discuss, you know, what is the ultimate track of the Mahabharata? What are the main themes? But it's a wonderful story. And there are, within the story, sometimes, you know, Yudhishthir is speaking to someone and he will tell one story and that story has another story in it. Complex. It's very complex. Very difficult for, you know, people even to fully appreciate Mahabharata if you read it entirely. But in the form of stories. Then after that, the next episode is the Indraprastha episode. And that's where things start getting really ugly, right? That's the point where things really divide. Till then, there is a kind of a false sense of togetherness between the Kauravas and the Pandavas. There is still there, you know, they are trying to, you know, but surreptitiously, very silently, very secretly trying to cut the Pandavas. But after the Indraprastha episode, the envy comes out in the open. Completely open. Then there is the dice game where, you know, that is like the peak of what, you know, the Mahabharata takes it to a crescendo. There's another crescendo which comes when the battle starts. But this is one level of crescendo where everything falls apart. Who falls apart? The Kauravas fall apart. They basically dig their own grave, as they say. They dig their own grave at that point of time. And then after that, the Pandavas also, Yudhishthir gets drawn in. He also, you know, just gets drawn in by the game and he's unable to give it up. So everything falls apart. Then after that, the next section, important section, is the exile, where they go to the forest and live there for 12 years. And then after the 13th year, that is another parva, Virat parva, you know, where they live in incognito. And each of them, you just see, each of these sections has got so many beautiful stories inside them, you know. For our devotees who do this drama festival every year, the Mahabharata has so much material. There's no shortage. You can just pick one story and expand it. You know, so much beautiful stories are there. And then after the exile, when they return, then the Kurukshetra battle and then the Bhagavad Gita. And after this, there's a lot of detail, which is basically the, you know, the reign of the Pandavas, how they lived. After winning the war, what happened after winning the war? They go and meet Kunti and Dhritarashtra. So it's very interesting how the Yudhishthir, he's one side is regretting that because of me all this happened. And on other side, he's fearful also to go and now meet Gandhari and, Dhritarashtra, because he's afraid that don't know how she will curse me, what will happen. So he sends Krishna ahead. Please, aap jao na thoda. Aap samjha sakte, you are Supreme Lord, you go. So Krishna goes. And Krishna explains to Gandhari, he tells her everything very logically, very nicely explains to her that, see, don't be angry with Yudhishthir. It is not his fault. He did not want this war. He tried his best to stop this war. So please, he's going to come now to take your blessings and, you know, offer condolences. Please, don't be angry with him. So she says, yeah, we understand. Gandhari understands. They're not afraid of Dhritarashtra. They're afraid of Gandhari because she has that yogic Siddhi, she has, you know, tremendous, she's a yogini, very powerful. So, then next, after that, Krishna comes back and tells Yudhishthir that, ho gaya, you know, I have set everything, abhi aap log aao. Right? And then Yudhishthir comes, and he also stands little distance because he's afraid what she will do. And he comes and begs forgiveness. And when he begs forgiveness, Dhritarashtra accepts and Gandhari also accepts. But she is unable to bear that separation from her sons and she sees that. So she slightly lifts her veil and she sees the lotus feet of Yudhishthir. And she, by that sight, his toes get singed, toes get burnt. And then after that, when Krishna comes in front of Gandhari again, the previously she has not said anything. But now after having met Yudhishthir, just see how the nature of a person, the mode of nature, the modes of nature, how they force us to act. So she curses Krishna. And then again another big turn happens because she has cursed Krishna 36 years from now, this is going to happen. And then the whole story goes on. And finally it ends with the Pandavas going back to Godhead. So it's a wonderful story with so many, so many wonderful twists and turns. There is this famous verse which is quoted about the Mahabharata. Dharme cha arthe cha kame cha mokshe cha Bharata shabha. Yadi hasti tadanyatra yanne hasti natat kvachit. It means, in the realm of dharma, artha, kama and moksha, whatever is found in this epic is not found elsewhere. Whatever you find about dharma, artha, kama, moksha, yaha jo milta hai, wo aur kahin nahi milega. And what is not found here is impossible to find elsewhere. Matlab yaha kuch hai nahi to wo aur kahin nahi milega. So this is how powerful the Mahabharata is. And it teaches us many principles. Many principles we can learn from the Mahabharata. So I have just picked up a few based on my very limited knowledge. I beg forgiveness if I make mistakes here, but this is just my offering to all of you. So first, one very important thing that we can learn from the Mahabharata, destiny is very strong. You know, we hear that destiny is very strong, but the Mahabharata beats us into submission. You have to understand that whatever destiny is there for an individual, that will come about no matter what, right? And what decisions we take, we are creatures of circumstances. Circumstances and the modes that we have inherited from our previous lives, from our previous decisions and actions, these two come together to play out as prarabdha, play out as destiny. It is almost inevitable that things happen. You are in a particular circumstance because of your karma and your modes, you are filled with koot-koot ke hamare andar hamara modes bhara hua hai. In that circumstances, how we react decides future destiny. But at that moment, what is destined is happening because of this. And then, what decisions we take, they have very long-lasting repercussions. It's not that tumne kiya ho gaya. No. Mahabharata teaches us, Shantanu, first he marries Ganga. Right? She places a weird condition on him. But he's so smitten that he accepts. And then, something happens because of that. And then he marries Satyavati. Now, when he wants to marry her and she places again another weird condition. Dudh ka jala chhas bhi phuk phuk ke peeta hai. He should have been, right? But no, Shantanu didn't understand. Her previous wife placed a weird condition. Usse kya ho gaya? Mera seven sons were killed. Eighth one, now taken away, never came back. And now finally he came back. No, Baba, vapas nahi. No, he was so smitten. He said no. But he was, he was moping around with that face, carrying his long face everywhere. And, he immediately understood, Bhishma understood there is something wrong. Devavrat, his son. He went and then he arranged the marriage. And what happened because of that? Course of destiny changed. Otherwise, Bhishma would have become the king and the whole story would have been different. One decision to marry Satyavati, everything changed. And then Bhishma decides to take a vow. Why? So that his father can take his decision. He takes a vow and that vow he never went against for his whole lifetime, even though he should have. Even when things were going wrong, radically wrong, dharma was being broken, still he stuck to his dharma. No, I have vowed that I will be loyal to the throne of, to the king of Hastinapur, and I will not change that. And it was a mistake. He shouldn't have done it, but he did it. Kunti, there are many examples. Kunti deciding to stay silent on Karna. She chose Maunvrat till the very end. At the very end, after the battle is over, then she, you know, kind of remorsefully tells Yudhishthir. And Yudhishthir says, this is, you should have told this long back. What is this? Right? Because she stayed silent, again, everything changed. So, we understand, Mahabharata teaches us, what decisions you take, soch samajh ke lo, look before you leap. Whatever decisions we take, even in our spiritual life, we take decisions. We take important decisions. That I will behave like this. I will take this position. I will take this stance. I will do this seva only. I will not do anything else. If someone tells me, tries to correct me, I will correct them back. Tum kya correct? Tumhare to 100 mistakes hai, mere to ek hi hai. These decisions which we take, we hold on to our positions, it has long-term repercussions. You should be very careful. Destiny is very strong. Then the next thing we learn from the Mahabharata, another important lesson, the very strong influence of the modes of material nature. Persons are literally forced to act in a particular way. You know, prakriti kriyamanani gune karmani sarvasya ahankar vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. People feel that I am the doer, but it is the modes of nature which is acting on them. Again, many examples. We see Shantanu, like we just discussed, Shantanu with Ganga and Satyavati. He was in mode of passion. As a king, the kings are naturally in the mode of passion. And moment, and that controllership is there. For someone who is in the mode of passion, they have that controller nature. Mode of passion means control. You know, and Kshatriya means controller. So control means what? If I see anything, I must have it. Yesterday, our Gaurang Priya Prabhu had a brilliant class on, you know, on Vishwamitra. Right? What is that spirit? I saw this cow, I must have it. Must have it means must have it. Abhi, jo bhi hai, nahi, nahi, oh, sab theek hai. Aray, but this, no. But I must have it. You're so determined. He went to crazy heights to get that cow. Similarly, Shantanu, determined, Ganga must. Aray, but I have a problem. I am placing some condition. Theek hai. Right? We see these stories. We see in the Ramayana also, Dasharath Maharaj. Why did he give these two boons to Kaikeyi? Because she saved his life? That's her duty. She should have saved his life. In gratitude, he gave her these two boons. Changed the destiny. Everything changed because of that. The appropriate time it came out. It didn't come at the right, you know, at that moment. She could have immediately said, okay, I want to be your favorite queen. I want my son to be. Nothing. That time she also felt, arey, main to duty kar rahi hun. My husband is dying. It's my duty to try and save him. No. I have come here as charioteer. I have to save you. She could have said that. She didn't say. Maybe she said also. But Dasharath was so, Raja ho, dena hai mere ko. Lo yaar, take it. You know. So this controllership is the mode of nature. Modes of nature acting. So he acted like this with Ganga, with Satyavati, and it changed everything. Then Yudhishthir. Now Yudhishthir is known as Dharmaraj. Dharmaraj means what? Very, very fixed on dharma. Jaan jaye par vachan na jaye. Jaan jaye par dharma na jaye. He is, no way he will go. So when he was asked to come and fight in that gambling match, to participate in that gambling match, ideally he should have said no. He knew exactly what is going to happen. Aisa nahi ki usko idea nahi tha. He knew that Shakuni is going to fight. He is going to play the match. He knew that if Shakuni plays, I will lose. He himself had a problem of, you know, he was very attracted to this gambling. But he said that no, Kshatriya, if he is challenged to a duel, whether it is a fighting duel or a gambling duel, Kshatriya can't say no. Brothers tried to warn him that, arey, mat karo. See, they are also breaking rules. Nahi, I must do it. So again, the modes, you know, of course it is somewhere we can see it is Krishna. In case of pure devotees, it is Krishna's arrangement. He influences a devotee to act in a particular manner. But yeah, we can see. Similarly, because of mode of nature, you know, Krishna explains in the Gita that birds of a feather flock together. Right? If there are people in mode of goodness, we'll see. Even in our temple we can see, in our congregation we can see. There are people who tend to flock together. You know, those who are in mode of goodness, they stay together. Those who are in mode of passion, they stay together. And so there's a bonding. You can connect with each other. Because, mode of goodness wale ko, mode of passion ka enthusiasm is it hurts them. Unko takleef hota hai wo dekh ke. Ki itna kya enthusiasm hai, shant ho jao bhai, kya hai, matlab, cool down, calm down. Nahi, mere ko book distribution, mere ko dance karna hai, kirtan. And mode of goodness wala is like, you know, very gently raising his arms. And then someone comes and grabs them and pulls them into the kirtan and they are like, oh God, do I have to do this? So, we tend to flock around people who are like us. We are comfortable, that's our comfort zone. We see the modes of nature acting. So we have Duryodhan, Dushasan, Shakuni, Karna, Ashwathama. What characters? All of them are powerful characters, no doubt. But they all flock together. So modes of material nature. Third, very important point. So this, my son suggested, Mukunda suggested this point. So that bodily attachment is too strong to remove by advice. We are all on the bodily platform. Janasya mohaham aham mameti. I am this body and everything in relation to this body, my family, my bank balance, my followers, my counselees, mine, me, right? We are so, you know, we are attached to everything. And this bodily attachment, simply by good advice, doesn't go. Simply doesn't go. You know, Radha Gopinath Prabhu always says, right, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You can see it in the Mahabharata, Dhritarashtra. So many times he was advised by so many people. Dozens of times, if you read the Mahabharata, dozens of times Dhritarashtra goes into depression. Arey yaar, kya karun is ladke ka? What to do with this son? Yaar, it's a headache. You know, what to do with him? And then he calls Vidura, please come. Give me some good advice. And Vidura gives him the same advice. O king, he is, you know, Varna Sankara, get rid of him. Don't do this. This is a horrible fellow. He's not going to listen to you. As he grows up, he'll become more adamant, more obstinate, more stubborn. So Vidura, see, people who are very intelligent, they're able to see behavior, few symptoms. You know, and they're able to immediately set an equation. Ki A plus B plus 2CY equal to X. Wo usko dekh ke samajh jata hai. Ki ye teen symptom hai, matlab ye aisa hai vyakti. Vidura was like that. He is Dharmaraj. He was, you know, Yamaraj. He was Yamaraj. So he knows exactly what nature of people is. So he warns so many times. But no, Dhritarashtra doesn't listen. Sanjaya. So many times he asks advice from Sanjaya. Why Sanjaya? Because Sanjaya is also a disciple of Vyasadeva. Very powerful person. He asks Sanjaya for advice. Never listens. Vyasadeva himself, his own father. So many times Vyasadeva comes and advises Dhritarashtra. Doesn't listen. Well, Vinash Kale Viparita Buddhi. No matter how hard someone tries to convince. So just good advice. Therefore, we should also understand sometimes, you know, we become attached to our own advice. Okay, I am explaining so nicely. I am explaining, you know, bolte naam log ki, saam, daam, dand, bhed, sab kuch karke dekh liya, phir bhi change nahi ho raha hai kuch. You know, understand, we are too attached to our own advice. And they are too attached to their own natures. Those attachments that they have are not going to go simply by advice. Somewhere, Sukruti is needed. Or very heavy danda. So finally, Dhritarashtra in the end gets a very heavy danda from Vidura. It tells him, like a dog, you are eating, you know, the roti is thrown by Bhima. You become like a dog. But then he wakes up. He says, okay, now I'll leave. But otherwise, just good advice sometimes doesn't work. So we can see that. So as preachers also, we should understand that sometimes we preach and preach and preach and preach. But samne wala kuch karta nahi hai. So humko samajh jana chahiye ki this is a principle. Then one very important principle. No matter how hard we may make a plan, This is Mahabharata at its best. It's all about plans, subterfuge, and you know, various plans made by Dhritarashtra, by Drona, by Duryodhan, and you know, Shakuni. So many plans. Why? To destroy the Pandavas. Right? Drona doesn't plan to destroy the Pandavas. He plans to destroy Drupada. Everyone is making plans. But thy will be done. Whatever is the will of the Lord, only that happens. So we see, you make a perfect plan. Shakuni made a perfect plan. He felt that Bhima is the greatest. He was also a clairvoyant. He could see the future. That ye Bhima hi takleef dene wala hai sabko. Because he hates all the Kauravas. And he's so powerful. So let's poison him. Very foolproof plan, right? They poisoned him with enough to kill some 100 people. So much poison they put in him. He didn't die. He came back stronger. Then Lakshagra, they tried to burn them alive. Again, foolproof plan. Ki tum thoda rest karo, aram karo. You know, you have had a lot of hard work and all. Thoda you all relax. Go and stay in this beautiful palace we have created for you. Thoda aram karo. Come back after that. But now Pandavas, you know, had been warned by Vidura, who in turn had been warned, I believe, by Akrura. I am not sure I got the chronology correct, because Akrura had been sent by Krishna. So the whole chronology goes like that. So, saved, nothing happened to them. Then the dice game, again. The dice game is another example of they planned, they tried very hard that, okay, ye dice game mein hum log. Just see the intelligence of Shakuni, right? Other than Krishna, one of the most intelligent persons in the whole Mahabharata is Shakuni. But because he was against the intelligence of Krishna, he could not do anything. Otherwise, he would have succeeded. He was powerful, very intelligent person. What was his plan? Ki chalo, let's invite them for a game of dice. He knows Yudhishthira's weakness for this. So let's invite them for that. And I will throw the dice. And his plan is what? Let's say that, you know, first we will defeat them, we'll take away everything. Then second round may what? That okay, they will go to Vanvas for 12 years. And then after that, 1 year of Agyatvas. And if in that Agyatvas they are found, another 12 years. 25 saal mein toh, they'll become non-entities. First of all, in the forest, they may not even survive. So what devious planning? Didn't work. In that 12 years, the Pandavas came out more powerful. Arjuna became more powerful. Bhima was more powerful. He got a son. Ghatotkach, who played such an important role. That's what the beauty of Mahabharata is, these 224 characters. Each one has played one role. For what? The ultimate purpose. Krishna's will. Krishna's will be done. If the Lord wills it, it happens. Finally, the war. The war also they fought thinking what? Hum jitenge, we will be all powerful. Didn't happen. Though they had a larger army, Prabhupada himself says in the Gita that compared to Bhishma, all this Bhima, Arjuna, like figs. Fig is a very soft word. Aisa pachak sakte usko. Compared to Bhishma, they were like figs. That was the confidence that Duryodhan had. Inke samne kon tik payega? Chance hi nahi hai. But still, supreme will, anything can happen. So another important point. Then we learn about the swarat nature of the Supreme Lord. When the Lord wills, he can take away the power of his most powerful ally. Arjuna was his right hand in the war. But when the war was over, purpose is fulfilled. You have ruled the kingdom for 36 years. He just, one go took away all the power. Gandhi was there, everything was there. He was not able to do anything. This mentioned the Mahabharata and the Bhagavatam. Very powerful. Then, if one is a pure surrendered devotee of the Lord. This is a very powerful lesson we learn from Mahabharata. Someone may feel, I am pure devotee. I'm not pure devotee. I'm a good devotee. Sincere. Pramanik. Right? If you're a good devotee, that means things will be okay. Mahabharata doesn't show us that. Mahabharata shows us that even if you are a pure surrendered devotee of the Lord, it does not guarantee material happiness or comfort. The Pandavas never had it. They were born in a forest. They were born in a forest with their parents. Then they were orphaned at a young age. Then when they came back to Hastinapur, they were unwanted. You know, orphans, if you're already an orphan, and samne wala, this is what happens even today, right? I mean, someone comes from an orphanage, even if they are adopted by parents, others in the family may not accept. Unwanted. They were unwanted. They were cheated. They were hurt. So many things happened to them. Hardly there was a period in their life till finally, you know, the war was over. There was hardly a peaceful moment in their life. Hardly a peaceful passage. So just because they're a pure devotee doesn't mean you'll have a peaceful life. And finally, the ultimate purpose of the Mahabharata is not even to establish dharma. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But it is to demonstrate complete surrender, which the Pandavas showed in their final pastime. So when the Lord left, the moment they got to know that Krishna has left, immediately, hamara bhi kaam ho gaya, abhi humko kya kaam hai idhar? Because they are the parishad, they are the associates of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, the moment the war was over, they were established as kings. After that, they ruled for 36 years because they knew Krishna is there for 36 years. Towards the end, Yudhishthir, Arjuna knows Lord is going to leave. So therefore, he goes to Dwarka in anticipation. The moment the news comes, the Lord has left, finished. They just sab band karke nikal gaye. They didn't even wait. They immediately left. So this is the ultimate. While Mahabharata may be full of so many stories, so many learnings we may get, this is the ultimate lesson. Krishna's ultimate instructions, the Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami masucha. That ultimate instruction is shown here. You know, in the verse before this, Krishna says, man mana bhav mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskaru mam evaishishya satyam te prati jane priyosime. So because Arjuna, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, because Arjuna remembered this instruction of Krishna, that be my devotee, ultimately you will come back to me. Because he remembered this, he became peaceful. Otherwise he was lamenting that the Lord has left. But the moment he remembered this instruction, he became peaceful. Okay, I can reunite with him in the spiritual world. Finished. All of them, bang, 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 bang. All of them just left. This is the wonderful lesson we can learn from the Mahabharata. Ultimate surrender. So a few points on, you know, the Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the difference between the two? Again, as I said, these are my points. I just put these points. They may be incorrect, but just for your pleasure, I'll just present them. I beg for forgiveness if there are any mistakes. So the Mahabharata is meant for those who are not even on the platform of dharma, artha, kama, moksha. वो कुछ भी मालूम नहीं है महाभारत पढ़ो और इफ यू आर ऑन प्लेटफॉर्म ऑफ धर्म अर्थ काम मोक्ष उसके अलावा कुछ मालूम नहीं है रीड महाभारत बिकॉज इन द महाभारत बाय रीडिंग इट यू विल बी प्यूरिफाइड इट इज मेंट फॉर द लेस इंटेलिजेंट पीपल ऑफ कलियुगा फॉर ऑल ऑफ अस इट्स मेंट फॉर अस एंड द श्रीमद भागवतम इज मेंट फॉर दोज हु आर बियॉन्ड धर्म अर्थ काम मोक्ष राइट इन द फर्स्ट वर्स इट इज Dharma artha kama moksha out, not in syllabus. Right? It is meant for those who are beyond this. It is Paramhamsa Samhita. Then, the Mahabharata tells us to surrender to the will of the Lord, which is all powerful. Right? The primary message that comes out is the will of the Lord is all powerful. Just surrender to the will. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vaja. ज्यादा फाइट मत मारो अपना धर्म करो एंड सरेंडर टू माय विल फिनिश्ड राइट दैट इज व्हाट इट टीचेस अस एंड द भागवतम टीचेस अस हाउ इवन द विल ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड इज बेंट टू द विल ऑफ हिज प्योर डिवोटीज सो द लॉर्ड मे वांट टू डू समथिंग बट इफ द डिवोटी वांट समथिंग एल्स ही इज हेल्पलेस ही कांट डू एनीथिंग सो इट टेक्स अस टू अ डिफरेंट लेवल द श्रीमद भागवतम टीचेस अस दैट The Supreme Lord's will is there, but even greater than that is the will of His pure devotee, by whose grace Shishirada Gopanath are here. Then, In the Mahabharata, Krishna is the central character. He is the main hero of the Mahabharata. But he is not sufficiently glorified or detailed. And mostly we see Krishna and the Mahabharata in Aishwarya Bhav. Right? We see Aishwarya of the Supreme Lord. We don't see any other Bhav so much. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is the central character in supreme detail. Not just about Krishna, but all his primary incarnations, all his devotees. Vistar mein, it is only about Krishna, Bhagavatam. And he is seen in all the rasas. In fact, Aishwarya Bhav is practically missing. We see him, there also we see a little bit of Aishwarya Bhav. When he kills the demons, when he kills Kamsa, he's there. But it is all the other rasas which are primarily there, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then finally, one story, the Mahabharata, is one story with many subplots. There are many chota chota stories within those stories, many subplots, but which finally lead one to understand. Finally, at the end, the conclusion is you should understand and surrender to the will of Krishna. One story with many subplots which lead us to surrender. Whereas the Srimad Bhagavatam is dozens of stories. There are dozens of, many, many stories are there. But each of them circle around that central theme of surrender and pure devotion to Krishna. So therefore, after writing the Mahabharata also, which does glorify Krishna, which does bring people, the unfortunate people of Kali Yuga. So it's like, you know, he's written at 21 sets after writing, you know, all the textbooks, which are the Vedas. Ved Vyas has written this 21 sets. Ki bhai, Kali Yuga walon ko pura textbook padhne ka time nahi hai, samajhne ka time nahi hai. Ek digest jaisa likhta hu main. Jisme, you know, quick and dirty, you will understand the principles. So he has written Mahabharata for fools like us. Kali Yuga fools. However, even in that Mahabharata, he has given everything. Sab kuch hai usme, like we said. You know, it contains everything. It contains bhakti also. It contains the lessons of bhakti. It teaches us to surrender to Krishna. But still, why he felt unsatisfied? For all these reasons. Because Krishna is depicted as the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. But pure devotion to Krishna in so many different rasas. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai. So pure bhakti to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in so many different rasas, which is available, that knowledge is there, was not covered in the Mahabharata because it's not meant for that audience. That was the reason why he felt dissatisfied. And immediately Narad Muni, who is praising him, he's praising him, ki, tumne to Mahabharata bhi likh diya, Veda likh diya, Mahabharata likh diya, abhi bhi you're dissatisfied, right? That is why, you know, kind of slight sarcasm Narad Muni is touching on that. For him to realize, and next, very next one or two verses, Ved Vyas realizes that, yes, while I've written this magnum opus, epic, greatest epic of all time, but the main thing has not been written. That is why he starts writing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, on this all auspicious appearance day of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, I beg of all of you to please bless me that I can take shelter of some of these instructions, these lofty words which I am speaking. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare. Any comments, questions, anybody? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.